For almost 40 years, the U.S. Supreme Court has recognized the right of public sector labor unions to collect union dues from non-members that they represent as they negotiate with management on the issues of job site working conditions that benefit the entire workforce. But in the case known as Friedrichs v. California Teachers Association, which will be argued before the High Court on January 11th, a group of non-union California teachers are litigating to prevent unions from collecting all fees related to collective bargaining, contract administration, and the handling of employee grievances. The plaintiffs, supported by the right-wing Center for Individual Rights that receives funding from the Koch brothers, maintain that all spending by the union is inherently political, and mandatory employee contributions to it thus constitute compelled speech, which is generally prohibited by the First Amendment. The plaintiffs' attorneys argue that the Supreme Court should overturn its ruling in the 1977 Abood v. Detroit Board of Education case that concluded that fair share fees preventing free rides by non-union members was constitutional. Your reporter spoke with Carolyn Fredrickson, president of the American Constitution Society, who discusses her group's work in alerting the public to the critical issues at stake for labor unions and all workers in the Friedrichs v. California Teachers Association case.
The basic issue that's at stake is a First Amendment challenge, a free speech challenge to laws that affect the employee speech rights of public employees. The lawsuit is against the union, California Teachers Association. The dissident teachers are saying that they should not have to pay any fee to the union to cover the costs of the collective bargaining process. They're not paying any fee for political activities or anything aside from the very limited issue of the cost of getting them a higher wage. This arrangement, this fair share arrangement, has been the law for decades, has been affirmed by the Supreme Court in many, many cases. And what is at stake now is that these plaintiffs, the Friedrichs plaintiffs, are trying to argue that there should be no such arrangement allowable, and thus that they should be able to get the benefit of any collective bargaining agreement, get the higher wages and benefits, and not have to pay any fee. So it's basically the free rider rights approach. And I would just say, so that the listeners understand, it's actually the law in this country that unions have to represent everybody fairly in the bargaining unit. So they can't say, all right, we're only going to represent those workers who are our members. They have to represent everybody who is doing that job and in that bargaining unit, regardless of whether they're a union member or not. So essentially, this gets at the variability of unions to be able to represent and fight for the rights of workers. It's brought by a group of people who are represented by some very right-wing foundations that are funded by the Koch brothers. This is part and parcel of the effort of dismantling a progressive America. So this is about trying to destroy the public employee unions and ultimately destroy the private sector unions, and that will follow. But again, it's a case that's completely unprecedented. There's longstanding case law affirming this arrangement, and the school districts and the states really like it. It's a good arrangement for them. It gives them labor peace, and it gives them a good way of interacting with their employees.
Caroline, when it comes to public service workers, folks like teachers, nurses, social workers, and firefighters, what's at stake for them in this case? What would happen to public service unions if the Supreme Court justices uphold the plaintiff's case here?
Well, I mean, we have a really good set of facts to evaluate that with, because we have what are unfortunately called right-to-work laws, but are actually kind of the opposite. Right to be paid less is more like it. And the what happens when there's a right-to-work law adopted in a state is that immediately the public sector unions lose a very large number of members because, again, you know, it's understandable. And an individual person who says, wow, I could pay for this work that gets done that gives me a higher wage, or I could get my higher wage for free and not pay in. But when too many people do that, then the unions cannot actually engage in the work to get the better wages, to get the better benefits, and it is really destructive of the whole strength of the labor movement. You know, what's so interesting is that there's a kind of a perverse argument here on the right about this free speech rights of the employees, and that is, if you recognize that that every single thing that a public employee says is entitled to free speech rights, then you've created a really powerful element in the public sector of workers who can basically say anything anytime they want in a way that is so unusual. In fact, it doesn't exist in any other workplace. It's one of the reasons why there is certainly some hope that some of the conservative justices would not agree with Justice Alito, because it has a perverse impact on the ability of governments to treat their employees, like any other employer, in the sense of not constitutionalizing everything that the employee says.
Would the net effect be the bankruptcy of some of these public service employees unions? Would that be what would happen if enough employees opted out of paying their union dues, the whole system could collapse? Is that the idea here?
Well, you know, in a kind of maybe not an absolute sense of bankruptcy, but certainly metaphorically, it would certainly be very hard for many of them to operate, and you'd certainly see some of them no longer able to function. But they'd be weak. In any case, they'd be very weak, and the weaker they would be in their ability to get workers higher wages, the less workers would support them, and the weaker they would become. And so, you know, I think it's a very dangerous spiral downwards for workers, because the weaker the unions get, the less leverage the workers have to get better wages, to get better benefits. And I would also say the thing that's really important to remember about public sector unions is that the public sector unions have achieved in our economy the best record in terms of narrowing the wage gap between women and men and between minorities and white people. And that's because it's been part of their mission is to get fair wages and benefits and to eliminate discrimination. And so it's a sector where women and minorities have really achieved more than they have in the rest of the economy. And that is also at stake. To the extent that public sector unions are weakened.
That was Carolyn Fredrickson, president of the American Constitution Society. For more perspectives on the Friedrichs versus California Teachers Association case, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.